and your heart to God. Colossians 2:13 through 14 reads, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him." Think about that word for a moment. Quickened together. Just like that. As soon as you made that commitment to God, as soon as you allowed the Holy Spirit to live within your heart, you were quickened together with him. No matter what, you were instantaneously joined with the Lord Jesus Christ and his heavenly Father, and then of the Holy Spirit in itself. It says, having forgiven you all trespasses, all, everything, every single sin that you committed prior to making that profession of faith, to every sin that you make from that point forward, all trespasses, all sin, all iniquities are forgiven. As long as you continue to seek the Lord to cleanse you and to purge your sinful heart. Regardless of asking God to come and live within your heart, you still are of a sinful nature. That is in your DNA, and there's no way you can escape it while you're here on this earth. God has provided the only escape, and that is to leave this earth and to enter into glory on the day in which God chooses to call you home. And that is what we're here to celebrate. I know today is Palm Sunday. I know that we recognize that this is when Jesus himself, as we've already discussed, was praised. He was adorned. The palm branches were laid down. The people sang, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They had come to love this Jesus, this man who had come to serve and to save all who were lost. And they had seen miracle after miracle. But how quickly we know the tides changed. How quickly his life changed. He went from Messiah to a blasphemer, a liar, just in a matter of a week. But we know this was God's plan. Jesus knew this was his Father's plan. Verse 14 reads, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And it took it out of the way. And what does he say here? What does it say here in Colossians? It says, nailing it to whose cross? His cross. Nailed it to his cross. He nailed all of your sins, all of my sins, all of mankind's sins to his cross. No other person could have been nailed to that cross that could guarantee you and me life eternal. No other person. But Jesus himself, having been forgiven our trespasses, allows us to be identified with Christ in his resurrection. So when you make that profession and when you go through the ordinances of being baptized, we know that you're being washed by the water. We know that is a representation of. We know that that water in itself is not what cleanses us. But we're being washed away, that old life that we once lived, being raised back up in the newness of who? Christ. That's how we're able to identify with the Lord himself. Because of what he did. Not anything that you did. Not because you made that profession. But it's because of what he did that allowed you to make that profession. What he did to allow you to become debt free. Ephesians 2:6 reads, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's who you're with. That's who you are entwined with. Your thoughts, everything about you is intertwined with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Everything about you, when you publicly recognize that you need that Savior. And as we begin to reflect on what's going to happen through the rest of this week on the calendar, we know that these events have already transpired. But I hope that when we come to Thursday and when we come to Friday, that you can truly take time to think about that Last Supper. Think about the time that you may have had a Last Supper with a friend or a family member and how great it was when you can reflect on that goodness that was provided for you. But I want you to think about that Last Supper that the Lord Jesus had, where he knew the ones who he served, the ones who served with him, that one was going to do what? Betray him. But what did Jesus keep doing? He kept on loving. Because he knew this was part of his Father's plan. And so you think about all the people that has done things to you and maybe have hurt you and have betrayed you, and how hard is it sometimes for you to keep on loving them. But Jesus was able to continue to love even Judas for the mistakes that he was getting ready to make. All because he wanted to gain a little wealth. It was all it was for. But think about the great debt that he accrued when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you too can accrue that same very debt if you're not willing to recognize that you need your debt to be paid in full, that you need your debt to be wiped away clean. And you can only do that by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Dying and raising with Christ, it signifies death to the power of sin and of Satan. That means that sin no longer has a hold on you. It means that Satan no longer has a hold on you. It doesn't mean you'll stop sinning completely, but you'll have a greater power. You'll have a greater knowledge of what you can do to not commit those specific sins anymore. But the greatest thing to recognize is that Satan no longer has a reign on your life. But God does. And that's what's important, is allowing God to have total reign of your life. No matter how difficult it may be for you, no matter how difficult it may be for you to surrender your all to him, that's what you have to do so that you can be ruled by our sovereign Lord and Savior. This gives us an empowerment to live a new life that Jesus has called for all believers to live. And not only that, it gives you an opportunity to learn and to know to be an imitator of Christ, meaning that you're trying to walk the walk and talk the talk. It means that you're trying to walk the way Jesus walked, not living perfectly, but living as righteously as you can for Jesus Christ himself. If you would, please turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, verses 3 through 11, and follow along as I read from there. When we read from these particular verses, we will see and we'll understand and we can know that we died to sin when we were baptized in Christ. And it's the ability to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you sitting here today can truly identify yourself with Jesus, and that Jesus is able to identify himself with you. Romans 6, 3 through 11 reads, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." That's very important. If you see that, it says, "For if we have been planted together." So that means when you, me, anyone who is called upon the name of the Lord, if you've been planted in the likeness of Jesus, you will also be in the likeness of his resurrection, meaning that there is no way that you can be snatched away from God, because you've been planted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ himself through the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him," meaning the old body, "that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So that's what's even greater. What an affirmation to know that when you are willing to serve God, you no longer have the desire, or you should no longer have the desire to serve sin. Sin shall no longer enslave you. That desire should no longer be there for you to do the things of the world, but to do the things of the Father. Verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Now this is speaking of a physical death here on earth, but it's speaking more importantly of that spiritual death. because you have been freed from sin when you die that old body, when that old body dies, when you die to sin and you live for Christ. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death no more dominion over him. So how many times did Christ need to die? One. For how many sins? There's no way to count. But he only had to do it once. He only had to die once so that all sins could be forgiven. Then I love how it says, death no more dominion over him. He was only dead for a little while. And then he was raised from the grave. And when he was raised from the grave, anyone who has called upon the name of God also is raised from the grave, because you are alive through his resurrection. Verse 10 reads, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dead to sin, but alive forevermore through Jesus Christ. The power of sin has been broken. For only those who believe. Our old self was crucified and it was put to death with Christ. Before you were even born, Christ died for you. And you know this. He died for the unlovely. He died for the ungodly. He died for those people whose hearts are full of wrath and hate of such sinful nature. That's who he died for. He died for all mankind. When he was on the cross, you were already on his mind. And can you imagine what the thoughts would have been for Jesus as he was able to think and so deeply and to probably look and to see how this world would even be to this day as he was probably on that cross drawing those last breaths. He was able to look and to see how life itself was going to be here in the year of 2017 and even further down the road. He was able to see all of these things because he was able to see all of the sin. He was able to feel all of the sin. And for that brief moment in time when all of the sin was sitting on the weight of his shoulders, his own father had to look away. Had to look away. Jesus paid it all. And all to him we owe. He did that for all mankind. These bodies in which we were born into in this world, we accrued a debt as soon as we were brought in and took that first breath. Our debt was there. That sin debt was already there. As I mentioned, it's in our DNA. But Jesus did pay it all. And he knew that our bodies were going to be ruled by sin. Jesus knew that there was the only one way that we could overcome sin and that we could overcome this physical death here on earth. And that was fulfilling the plan of his heavenly Father. If you look back at verses 10 and 11, it says, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So you too can be dead, or you should be dead to sin if you've called upon the name of God. You're dead to sin now. And that's what makes it so great, that because even though we continue to sin, you can continue to go to God and ask him to forgive you of these transgressions, and he will forgive you. He will wipe your slate clean. Every morning when you wake up, it's a brand new day on the calendar, but it's a brand new day for you to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants you to do. Jesus died, so he took it upon himself. He took the sin upon himself, but his resurrection itself demonstrated that he has defeated sin, not you. You did not defeat sin. Man cannot defeat sin. It is only through the power of the cross that sin is defeated. It is our nature. Dead to sin, meaning dead to the pervasive love for sin and the ruling power of sin. And you think about that for a moment. There are so many ways that we sin every single day. And some of it is so hard to pull away from that sin has a true power. And there's only one way that you can truly break away from it. And that is by letting God lead and guide you. Even for those who have called upon the name of the Lord to save them, you still have to seek God daily to get the power that you need to live life to the fullest that God needs you to, and to conquer any type of sin that is within your life. We must realize that the mastery of sin itself has been broken within our lives each and every day. Don't just think that it happened once. We have to remember that we must continually seek God's forgiveness for all the things that we do. We're not going to live the perfect life. Being a Christian does not guarantee you a perfect life. And I know that you know this. All of us were born with a flesh nature that prompts you to rebel to the Lord. Automatically. Even as babies, we know that they themselves learn to do what to the parent? Manipulate. As babies, it's in our DNA to be sinful. But how great is it to know that our sin debt has been relinquished? Your sin debt can be relinquished by making the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And that's by allowing God to be ruler and reign over your life. Until this penalty is paid, we are under God's righteous judgment, and we remain spiritually separated from Him, which is something else that's very important for us to realize, is that if you don't make that decision, you are truly spiritually separated from God. You're not one of God's children. You cannot obtain that inheritance until you make that decision. But until then, you are totally and spiritually separated from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, 1 through 2 reads, "And you hath he quickened." There's that word again, quickened, remembering or realizing. Quickened meaning quickly, possible, hastily, as fast as possible. "And you who he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world." How many of us still today are trying to walk the course of this world and trying to walk the course of Jesus? You can't do it. It's not possible. You can only serve one God. You cannot serve two. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." The trouble is, we are unable to pay what is due. We will never be able to pay what is due. Now, I'm not speaking once again from a financial standpoint. I'm speaking of our sin debt. No amount of good works or self-sacrifice or religious devotion in your life can guarantee you that you can erase your sin debt. I don't care how hard you work. I don't care how hard you serve. If you don't believe in God and you have not professed with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, with your voice, that you're in need of a Savior, there's nothing that you can do that will guarantee you life eternal with God without that profession of faith. God, in His great mercy, sent His Son to simply rescue us. That was His goal. That was His only goal. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," because He did not want anyone to perish. He wanted to come and to rescue all. "Whomever will call upon the name of the Lord can and shall be saved." Jesus Christ Himself, He left glory. He left the right hand of His Father just so that you and me could have life eternal. That was the only reason why. Philippians 2, 6 and 7 says, "Who being in the form of God," this is Jesus whom He's speaking of, "Jesus being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Think about that. He came to rescue. He came to save. But He came to serve. And as He served as you and I serve. But yet we know He lived without any sin. Tempted, as you and I are tempted, but he never sinned. He was perfect. And we know that this cost our Savior enormously. But it was a sacrifice that he was willing to make. It was a sacrifice that only he could make to relinquish us from our debt. He paid the price. He took our sins upon himself. He bore them to whose cross? His cross. And he discharged our debt in full. Jesus paid it all. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, his atoning work, not your atoning work, not your good works, but his atoning work is credited to our account. That's what's so great about that. You have to do nothing. All you simply have to do is believe and receive. And your debt is free. It is gone. It has been paid in full. We become children of God and we become co-heirs with Christ as we are changed from debtors to inheritors. How great is that? To know that any debt that you truly have here on this earth, whether it be financially, whether it be sin debt, calling upon the name of God and allowing him to save your soul from a sinner's hell allows you to inherit the kingdom of God, and all of his righteousness shall be added unto you. Our closing verses is 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Think about those two words for a moment. How often do you go around with that lively hope on your face and that lively hope within your heart? Think about that for a moment. When people see you walking down the street or people meet you wherever you may be, do they see a lively hope within you? And that lively hope is something that you've gained by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he has resurrected himself. God himself resurrected Jesus from the dead into an inheritance, an incorruptible and undefiled inheritance, and that fadeth not away, and this is reserved for who in heaven? Anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. And you can have your debt paid in full. Let the knowledge of his sacrifice on the cross permeate every aspect of your life. Before you get up each morning, when you're laid in bed, before you put your feet on the floor, I want you to think about all that Jesus did through this week. Try to run through your mind how Jesus' last week on earth ended. Think about all that he went through. And think about the fact that he did all of that so that we, the people, us evil, sinful people, could have an opportunity to have life eternal. For all the sins in which we commit, Jesus himself paid it all. He went to a cross and died the cruelest of deaths that one could die. So that you, and you, so that all could have life eternal. A sin debt paid in full by a graceful and merciful and loving God. Jesus, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for all that you do. Father, we thank you for the fact that you did pay it all. Father, we thank you for the fact that you had a wonderful and masterful plan, God, a plan that we could not come up with on our own, God, a plan in which we could not fulfill on our own. Father, I'm so grateful that you were willing to send your only begotten Son. And Lord, I know that as he was nailed to that cross, I was on his mind. Every individual sitting in this congregation was on his mind. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to pay our sin debt in full. A debt that we owe. A debt that we could never pay on our own. We're thankful for your Son. Father, be with us as we continue to serve you through this service. Father, be with the choir as they sing this song, Sinner, saved by grace for our invitation. That's what we all are. Sinners, saved by grace. God, we love you. God, we praise you. Amen.
I'm nothing but a sinner.